My name's Sean McClung, and this is my wife, Dawn. We've been here 38 years, since 1984.
Carol Roberts.
Alan Roberts, and we've been associated or members at BCC since 1986.
My name is Debbie Holt, and we've been here since 1988.
Well, my name is Dave Wright, and this is my wife, Elaine. We've been at Academy Christian Church for 39 years now.
My name is Brittany Teal, and I have been associated with ACC my entire life.
I'm Carol Norris. I've been here at Academy Christian since 1984.
Richard Stabaugh. My wife's name is Dorothy Stabaugh.
Well, I'm Suzanne Clift, and I've been around in one way or another with Academy Christian since the early 70s.
One of my first memories of Academy is that after we had visited, there came a knock on the door and two gentlemen standing at the door, Dave Wright and Dick Crabtree, coming to welcome us to the area and to the church.
Hey, you need to go to Academy Christian Church because there is this young, very well-renowned minister who just became a senior minister at Academy, and that was Dick Crabtree.
Probably Vacation Bible School. We used to build a whole little western town out on the open fields area, and then we would dress up in cowboy boots and western hats and do this whole big Western Vacation Bible School. It was called Agape Gulch. And we would, for our memory verses, we would get little pyrite pieces and keep them in the bags, and then we could go shop at the little store.
We were so young when we came, and there were old people here. And it's always been a multi-generational church. And so the joy and pain of watching older people be our examples, but then move on to heaven, and the sudden realization that we are now those old people and that we get to impact the lives of the next generation.
The older people had a band with unique instruments that they had made that they would play at our events that we would have when we'd have our Thanksgiving dinners and all.
Also, how friendly our little bitty church was. It was about 60 people. And everybody knew everybody, and it was just such a warm, welcoming, family-feeling church.
It's an extra family on top of my family. It's support and friendship and depth and kindness. And I mean, I know that if I ever needed something, there are 100 people or more that I could go knock on their door in the middle of the night, and they would love me.
The church people, as Alan mentioned, have always been there for us, for whatever need we might have.
From the time we walked in the door in 1986, we just didn't take me. I mean, that was that. I felt, well, this is where we're, you know, going to have our church home.
Academy Christian Church has really blessed a lot of people, me included, but we've always had a heart for the people inside the congregation as well as outside the congregation.
Academy, since the time we came, has been known as a friendly church and a generous church, and I hope to see that continue. One of the things has been missions. I've been involved with missions here for over 30 years, and it keeps the congregation from being self-important, and it helps us keep our focus on what it is that Jesus wants us to do.
You know, I want to see the church grow, but I also want it to have an outreach that's going to affect people locally as well as nationally and internationally. To be able to just spread the word.
I think that as a young Christian, not necessarily a new one when we came here, but over the breadth of time we've been here, to see the church act like the church. And, you know, when somebody needs to be upheld, when someone needs to be prayed for, when someone needs to just have their family come alongside them, Academy has been that.
And one of the things that's hard when churches get bigger is that connection piece, and is it going to lose that depth and that feeling that it has? And one of the reasons I'm still here is because it hasn't, because the people here are just still so genuine and so real, and they're Christians the way Christians are supposed to be.
Hope and pray that the church continues to grow, and you're doing great things here, Brian, I tell you.
I pray that the church will continue to reach out to needy people, as Larry said, locally as well as internationally, and continue to help as many people, especially children, as possible.
I don't know that I would have thought of it, but I just think it's great that we have the focus on the children that we have, because there's just such a longing and such a need for children to be steered in the right direction, and there's so little of that steerage in the world today, I think. So I'm really excited that we are having that emphasis on the children so that we can help that next generation to come along and be what they need to be in the Lord's kingdom.
Next 50 years, I'm 83. I would like to see it grow in attendance and expand even more.
I would hope that the church would continue to teach and help people to grow deeper in love with Jesus and deeper in their knowledge and faith of the scriptures.
My hope for Academy Christian Church is that it would always stay true to the Word of God and always be faithful in that. Leading people to Christ. And I think if we can do that, we'll be doing well.
I haven't always been that good at celebrating, and so I'm trying to make up for it today because we have a lot to celebrate. Want to welcome those that are joining us online as well as everybody in the house today. Wow, Academy Christian Church has been around for 50 years. And while depending on your perspective, that could be young or that could be old, it's a milestone worth acknowledging and celebrating, which is why we're dedicating this entire service to looking back and celebrating what God's done. But we're also going to lean forward to what is to come. Now, I want you to think in your mind, how long have you attended Academy Christian Church? And get that in your mind. And while you are, I'd like everybody to stand, kind of seventh inning stretch. We could be here to midnight. And so you're going to need this. Everybody to stand. And if you've attended Academy Christian Church for 5 years or longer, you can remain standing. Everybody else sit down. If you've been here less than 5 years, okay, still got a good crew. Thank you for those of you who have just come lately. If you've been here for 10 years or longer, please remain standing. Okay, we're going to lose a few more. How about 15 years or longer, remain standing? 20 years or longer, remain standing? 25? Well, let's give an applause to these guys because they've been around for a long time. We want to celebrate their longevity. Folks, today we're looking back with gratitude as we honor and celebrate what God and His people have done. while also leaning towards a future that none of us have seen, but we're confident that God is already there. And so we want to start with looking back this morning. It's important to look back for a number of reasons, because there are, first of all, accomplishments to celebrate. And speaking of one of those, just a couple of weeks ago, we had our Christmas Eve services. We had a goal of raising $40,000 to build a clinic in Thailand to help Myanmar refugees. And do you know how much we raised? $40,000. We got it all in on Christmas Eve, and that's an exciting accomplishment to celebrate. You know, I have never planted a church. I've always showed up where there's already a group of people who had a building that existed that folks who had gone before dreamed of and planned and prepared for and then sacrificed to make it happen. And starting a church isn't something that's very easy. It often means meeting in rented facilities and having to set up and take down every Sunday. But then having the vision and the faith and the courage to go ahead and invest in property and to build a facility. And I want to remind us today that we are where we are because of the faithfulness of God and His people. And so some of the accomplishments we celebrate today are the gathering of that core and launching the brand new church and then securing a site and building that first building that you saw, not to mention now 4 successive building projects here. And that all happened in part because churches in our community came together not only to help us get started, but also to help us purchase that property. And that's why over the years we've tried to return that favor, significantly contributing to several new church plants here in Colorado Springs, and even you saw a picture, one down in Ecuador. And that's what we're celebrating today, 50 years of continuous service to Christ and our community, where literally there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have been encouraged in their walk with Christ over those 50 years. And one of our really priorities here is to impact our community and the world with the message of Christ and His love. And we always wonder, if we were to go away as a church, would anybody miss us? Would anybody notice? And I talked to a number of our ministry partners here, which would be like Crossfire and Mercy's Gate and Life Network, and all the time they say, you know what, Academy makes such a huge difference. We would miss you if you were gone. Well, it's also important to look back because there are people to honor, and we need to honor people that are worthy of honoring, and we've looked at some of those today. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says, give to everyone what you owe them, and if you owe them honor, then give them honor. And I so appreciate today Richard Crabtree. Do you know that next month he will turn 95 years old, and he has served faithfully in so many ways, and man, talk about setting the bar high for me to be able to follow. And then, of course, there are experiences to be remembered. And I hope you have some amazing experiences if you've been here for a while. There's numerous vacation Bible schools like you saw and trunk or treats. There are mission trips. In fact, we have a group of people that are heading off this Saturday to Bangladesh to serve there. And I encourage you to be praying for them. There's been special classes and small groups and meals and relationships. There's been marriages that have been strengthened marriages that have even been saved through ministries like Reengage, which is starting up again. These past 30 years have provided so many memorable experiences that should give us hope, just like the ones preserved for us in the Bible. One of my favorite verses is in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for it says, for everything that was written in the past, all of that was preserved, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And I hope we have some hope today because of our past. But while we're talking about looking back, I also want to mention, having said that, there can also be a little bit of a danger in looking back. While we certainly should be definitely celebrating the past, we've got to remember, though, that we won't ever be able to go back there. And that's because yesterday ended last night. And sadly, there are some who try to live by what I would call the crawfish philosophy. Have you ever noticed that crawfish get around by going backwards? They go backwards everywhere they go. And so those who live by the crawfish philosophy are always backing into the future, looking forward to the past. And if you're looking forward to the past, you're going to miss out on both the blessings of today as well as the promises of tomorrow. Now, I got to talk when we talk about looking forward to the past. Back when we were growing up, my my parents had a station wagon. Remember a station wagons? That's back from the past. That was before they actually invented minivans. And ours was just like that one, just almost the same color. And it had a third seat in the back that looked out the back window. And so all you could see if you sat there was where you had been. And there are some people that are living like that. And only looking back can actually lead to an idealistic nostalgia created by what I call selective memory. When we look back, we sometimes do it with a bit of nostalgia, don't we? That longing, that wistfulness for something in the past, what we often like to call the good old days. And I do that all the time. I remember thinking, wow, life was so simple then. But the only reason I think that is because I've forgotten that it really wasn't that simple. It was still hectic and frustrating. It had all sorts of challenges that I've forgotten about. And we can sometimes kind of romanticize the past. And honestly, the good old days weren't always that good. And you know what? I have some proof of it. Because they took pictures of people back in the good old days. And I want to show you one of those pictures. Here's a couple on their wedding day. I don't think they look like that's the good old days there. They don't even look very excited. And then I got another picture here. Look at these guys. They probably educated, have money, you know, all that stuff. Look at them. They don't look very good. That's what it does. Those were the good old days. And so while they were always, it's always good and healthy to look back and remember and celebrate, that second part of what we're looking at today is important. We also need to be leaning forward, which means leaning into the future. See, it's even more important to lean towards the future because, hey, for starters, the future is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. You know how much ever time you have left in this life, it's actually in front of you. It's not behind you. And what I've noticed is that we often, when we long too much for the past, we can quit living in the present. Another reason we need to be leaning into the future is because the future is going to look different from the past. And that means if we're not leaning forward, we could get left behind because the reality is in this world, everything changes or ends. I mean, if you had told me back at the start of 2020 that we would be streaming our services each week, I probably would have told you that's impossible. It's not going to happen. But you know what happened? By the end of 2020, we were actually averaging around 500 people online, joining us online each week. And today, we still have probably between 250 and 300 that will join us today. And that's just about as many as we have in one service. Several years ago, I came across a very helpful book when it comes to leaning forward and really navigating uncharted territory like we're facing today. It was a book called Canoeing the Mountains. And the author takes us back to 1804 when Meriwether Lewis and William Clark set out to find a water route to the Pacific Ocean. And so they traveled the Missouri River to its very start, all the while expecting that when they got there, they would find another river that they could calmly canoe to the Pacific Ocean. Well, as a result, their preparations and the equipment focused on really just that. And for the first 15 months of the journey, they did pretty well. But then, you know what happened? They ran smack dab into the Rocky Mountains. And those Rocky Mountains were nothing like the familiar Appalachian Mountains that they had left. Now, at that point, they could have turned around and said, hey, we didn't prepare for this, let's go back, but they didn't. They set off for a journey that they hadn't expected. And so they had to set their canoeing skills aside for the moment and learn how to navigate in the mountains in uncharted territory. Well, similarly, the church today finds itself in kind of uncharted territory. And so what should the church do? Should we give up? Should we turn back? Should we try to go back to the glory days of the church? Or perhaps maybe we should face this uncharted territory with resolve, trusting that God is already ahead of us. You know, the church in America and even around the world today is at a crossroads. Our world has become what they call VUCA. It stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And that whether it's the heightened tensions and elevated conversations about things like racial injustice, a bitter political division, Supreme Court decisions, rampant conspiracy theories, and a myriad of other potentially explosive topics such as sexual orientation and gender identity, that's all new territory. that's going to require Christ followers to lean in and find the courage to develop the capacity for a new day so that we can help connect our culture with Christ. So maybe we should be really looking at our reality and our circumstances and say, hey, what can we learn here? How might God want us to expand our faith and our vision for what we've been called to today? We truly are facing what I believe is an uncomfortable future. Because it will not be what we're used to. I can almost promise you that what lies in front of us is going to look different than the world behind us. And you know, people are often more comfortable with old problems than they are with new solutions. And Jesus made that clear in Luke chapter 5, verse 39, where he said, "No one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better." And at least part of the problem that we have in the church is that we tend to sometimes sanctify the way we do things in church, sometimes confusing the means and the end. Let me give you an example of that. Let me show you a picture of something that I used to see a lot of in churches. It's a communion table, and they sometimes even had special chairs that the elders sat in, and it provided a really very important service. But you do know that those tables are never mentioned in the Bible. And so it's okay to have them, but it's also okay for us not to have them. Because you see, sometimes we've tried to institutionalize the church that God actually designed to be portable and applicable in every culture and in every generation. Do you know why we have two different styles of worship services here? We have a traditional service and contemporary services. Well, because there still seem to be plenty of people who prefer traditional worship, and we're trying to be multi-generational. But we also want to reach the younger generation. I remember hearing about a grandmother who was being explained how really more culturally relevant music was helping the church to reach her grandchildren and their generation for Christ. And I love this grandma. When she heard that set, she said, "Well, if that's the case, then let's boogie." That was her response. What the church is going to have to do if we're going to lean into the future, we're going to have to learn how to take a gospel that never changes to a world that never stays the same. And that's why we got to keep leaning forward. The gospel itself does not change, but our world is changing rapidly. And there are so many things that we take for granted today that just a few years ago we never had. But you know, change sometimes can be hard, but I got to tell you, irrelevance is even harder. And we don't want the church to ever become irrelevant. That's why one of our values as a church is that we value relevance. We want to be culturally relevant while remaining biblically reverent. For example, what we understand in today's world is that most people are going to visit our church online before they ever attend in person, which is why we want to have a quality online presence. Now, if all of this change that I'm talking about is getting you a little bit nervous, just remember, while many things will change, many things will remain the same. And you know, the reason we know that is because Jesus in Matthew 24 said, he said, "As it was in the days of Noah a few thousand years ago, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, not yet to happen. For in the days before the flood, people were doing what? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, doing a lot of the same things up to the day that Noah entered the ark." And so while many churches, if you think about over the years, they've gone from pews to chairs, from hymnals to laser video projectors, and from flannel graph, anybody remember that, to LED walls, we still do a lot of the very same things. We sing, we pray, we study the Bible, we take communion. And so just remember, while methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, principles never do. And the work of the church is going to remain the same, to create Christ followers who create Christ followers. And we do that through two things, evangelism and discipleship. Even though how we do things may look a little bit differently, we just hired a guy by the name of Benny Soto. He starts tomorrow as our evangelism and outreach pastor. He's going to help us do evangelism better. Now, with all that uncertainty in front of us, I want to just remind us of some biblical truth that I hope will help us lean forward. The reason Christ followers can lean into the future is because we already know that God's going to meet us there. And so we read a verse like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And a lot of times we've made that verse kind of our own personal verse. It's more written to the God's people, to his church. That's what he wants. He wants to be with us. And while we've seen in past history times when the church has been forced to go underground, as it did in China, it's never gone away. You know why? Because Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 16. He says, I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then one final verse that he promises to be with us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, we're going to mix things up a little bit and do something a little bit out of order. So just calling an audible here. I'd like you to put the picture of our new children's ministry expansion. Let's go ahead and put that picture up. And I just want to say, we always need to remind ourselves that the church is not a building. It's actually the people. But we also remember that buildings still remain an important tool in reaching and gathering and ministering to and serving people. The building is the means, not the end. The end, of course, is to create Christ followers who create Christ followers. And that's one of the reasons why we're actually committed to reaching the youngest generation so that they can have a lifetime of impact. And I want to let you know, since we moved into that facility, we're averaging now over 165 individual kids check-ins on Sundays, while there's about 230 spots filled because some kids attend two services. And then Lionheart Academy, Children's Academy that we opened, already has 90 kids enrolled and another 100 that are still on a waiting list with eventually room for 250. And so just to remind us of that construction process, I want us to watch this video clip of how we actually got to where we are today. All right, so we're going to take today as part of our 50th anniversary to do a building dedication of that ministry space. Now, before we do that, there are lots of people we need to thank. Number one, we need to thank God who actually provided it for us and gave it to us. We need to thank our ACC elders who had the faith and the vision and the courage to actually do that in the middle of a pandemic. We need to thank Building God's Way and our architects who designed the building, Josh and Rebecca. We need to thank Great West Construction, Wayne and Bob and Scott and Charlie, who helped bring it all together. We need to help our financial partner, Christian Financial Resources. And Drew Deppler from there is here today. In fact, he's in the back. He's waving his hand there if you want to see Drew. If you got money sitting in an account that's not earning much interest, talk to him. It's how churches get built. We need to thank Al Fritz, who is one of our elders and our owner representative. Yeah, let's give Al just a round of applause. Countless hours. We need to thank our children's pastor, Julie Nielsen, and her CM crew, who had to move classrooms around in different places and spaces. Actually, hold your applause, so it'll help us with time. At the end, we'll give you time to clap, okay? Dave Kruger and his facilities team, because they've done an amazing job. Ann and Mike Betts, who did just a ton of IT work so that you can be on your phones and on the internet when you're here. We need to thank Wendy Wagoneer, who is the director of our Lionheart Academy. She's done a great job. Our church staff, who has shared space while the building was being finished, especially Taylor and Dave Erickson. We need to thank our Sunday parking team, who worked around all the chaos in the parking lot over those years, and especially our church family, who supported furnishing that facility with extra gifts. I mean, surpassing the $700,000 goal that we had, we actually have now received over $1 million towards getting us in there. And so I'd like to ask you to stand, and we're going to close with this time of dedication, and you're going to participate in this in a responsive way. I will start and lead out, and I want you to follow along and respond as we dedicate really that building and ourselves today. So let's start. Today we want to set apart our new children's ministry expansion and dedicate it to the service of Christ and His church. We offer our thanks to our Heavenly Father, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, whose provision has allowed this building to become a reality. In all of our activities, we ask for divine wisdom and guidance to be able to steward this facility to honor God and expand His kingdom. For the love of Christ to be experienced by our children. And for the strengthening and building of our families. Would you join me in prayer as we dedicate this building? Father, we are so thankful for what you've done in and through Academy Christian Church in 50 years. And we know now that we are poised for the next decades of ministry in an amazing way by this tool that you've given us in our children's ministry expansion and the Lionheart Children's Academy. Father, we dedicate this building to you, to your kingdom, to your use, that your word would be spoken there and taught there, heard and understand there, received there in a powerful way, that kids will come to know Christ, that families will be encouraged, and that we will be able to be a light in this community because of this building that you've given us. And so we dedicate it to you today as we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going a little longer today, but because of all the delays in opening, we never had a chance to have an open house, and so we actually would like to do that today. If you haven't been through the new facility yet, you just wind your way back past the student center, and I'd encourage you to walk through. They're kind of expecting you. Everybody that I know who's walked through has said, wow, it looks so much bigger on the inside than it does on the outside. And so take a look at that today. We've put some encouragement in there because they're actually cookies. Okay, that you'll find along the way. And I hope to see you next Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.